Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And just a word before we jump in, I'm really grateful for those of you who take the opportunity consistently to be prayerful, not just as you begin your day, but throughout the day by just resting your heart in God's word and taking the time to be with us. So we've moved through this Vice and Virtue series. Our vice for this weekend was sloth. That's what it's traditionally called. We would probably more often refer to that as laziness. And I think of all the vices that we've looked at, they're just very serious things. You think about pride and lust, right? Anger, the destruction that those things cost. And have cost for centuries, time and time again. And then when you get to something like laziness, you're like, well, yeah, that's bad. I mean, that's a problem, but it's not that bad. At least that's the way I kind of think of it at times. However, as we looked at Matthew 25, we just looked at this parable, the kingdom of heaven, one of the kingdom of heaven parables, where it's the only time Jesus ever uses the word slothful, or again, what we would call laziness. And I won't go through the whole parable again, piece by piece by piece. But it is entirely possible to be slothful and to be very, very busy. The one talent guy in the parable, one of the questions that I asked at Lewis Center was, when you think about it, which one would have taken more time? Would it have taken more time just to invest the one talent in the banking system so he could have earned interest for his owner? Or does it take more time to go choose a private enough location to wait for the right time when nobody's around, go out, dig a hole, bury the treasure, the talent, when no one else is there and around, cover up the hole. So make sure it's inconspicuous enough that no one notices you've been there, but conspicuous enough that you remember where it is. I mean, all of that, he's very active. He takes a lot of time. So it's entirely possible for us to be very active people and to still struggle with sloth. It's investing our time in matters that don't ultimately matter. And so the end of the parable, I think, is the most problematic. I mean, the on-the-nose part when it comes to sloth is that we should work. We're designed to work. We're created for it. If you look back at Genesis, when I think about sloth, sometimes I think about a 38-year-old guy that's not even trying to work, living in his parents' basement with no shirt on and an open bag of Lay's potato chips, right? I mean, he's playing Fortnite all day. And that's what we think about when we think of sloth. So, the scriptures are clear. In Colossians, do your work as heartily unto the Lord. Proverbs has so much to say about the sluggard, the one who's lazy or slothful. So that's the obvious part. But the not as obvious part is the idea at the end of this parable where Jesus says to the one talent guy, "You wicked, lazy servant." And I don't know how that resonates with you, but when I read that, it feels intimidating. It feels scary. And I would just say that this is not Jesus giving off old man vibes, right? He's not saying, well, this younger generation's just lazy. This is way more serious than that. And this is what makes sloth such an important vice. That it is entirely possible for us to live in a way where we don't necessarily reject God. We just neglect God. We take for granted God's goodness and grace. We take for granted the fact that what God wants for us and what the owner wanted in the parable. I mean, he didn't have to give them the talents, right? He didn't have to give them the money to invest. But he did it because he wanted these three to understand the opportunities they had and to enter into his joy. So it's just a good reminder for us that God does not, he's not looking for our begrudging obedience. He's not looking for us to say, oh, I got to do this. I got to do the right thing because that's what God wants. That's what God rewards. And I don't want my teeth gnashed, whatever that is. And he says, God is just so kind to us. And when you and I just kind of have this Eeyore-like Christianity, if I can borrow that character from Christopher Robbins, that, yeah, here we go again, kind of mentality. We are being slothful and lazy with the grace that has been offered to us. So the kindest thing Jesus can do is let us know that there's going to be a judgment. If the Bible's true, if the God of the Bible is true, then there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a final moment where we stand in front of God. We have to give an account. The kindest thing Jesus could do is let us know that that's coming, so that you and I could repent, so that you and I could be reminded of the goodness and the grace of the gospel, and to receive it and to live from it. So I'm going to pray that for us as we head into our day, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. God, you are so kind to us. And God, will you help us today to invest our lives in the opportunities that matter, the eternal opportunities that you put in front of us. Give us the opportunity today to do our work heartily as unto you, not unto men, because it's an eternal reflection for others to see. Today, God, help us to live in your abundance of joy for what you offer to us. It's eternal. Simon Peter says, it's imperishable and it cannot fade away. God, help us to live from that today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.